Back in November 2024, Congressman Seth Moulton clearly made a calculation. That calculation was that the 2024 election was a decisive cultural victory for MAGA, for Trump, anti-wokeism, or whatever you want to call it. That cultural victory meant that Moulton could make a play to the center, make a play to the right, without really offending anyone, because again, Trump had won. That was the ball game. And so he made a statement about how he was against trans girls and women playing with cis girls and women together on the same field or on the same court.
Last week, Moulton told the New York Times Democrats spend too much time trying not to offend anyone, adding, "I have two little girls. I don't want them getting run over on a playing field by a male or formerly male athlete. But as a Democrat, I'm supposed to be afraid to say that."
I meant exactly what I said. I meant what I said as a dad.
Now, after this, it was noted that his own children play in a co-ed league. So what is he talking about? And of course, there actually is very little to no evidence suggesting that trans girls and trans women have some kind of inherent biological advantage over their cisgender counterparts. And that's ignoring the fact that there are vanishingly few trans girls and trans women playing competitive sports. Right now, there's a big controversy over the WNBA, but there are no trans players in the WNBA. It's all a manufactured controversy, a set of hypotheticals posed by grifters, really, who don't care about women's sports, who oftentimes are actually quite opposed to women's sports.
They're proving that women shouldn't have a league. It's too dramatic.
And who are looking for a way to aggrandize themselves. Or in the case of someone like Sophie Cunningham, a mid-player who is going nowhere and needs a new career. But that's a digression. I'll talk about all that later. You kind of get a sense of how I feel about it. We're talking about Seth Moulton here. And so he made that decision, probably looking towards a future election, probably looking towards this election, the 2026 Senate race, where he primaried incumbent Senator Ed Markey, 80-year-old Massachusetts Democrat, reliable liberal, pretty decent senator. The primary was on Tuesday, and Markey, he wiped the floor with Moulton. There's barely anything left of the guy. Total embarrassment, total defeat. I'm sure this was unexpected for Seth Moulton, but it makes sense to me because Moulton made this calculation that Trump had won this cultural victory and that this would endure for a couple years, at the very least. But the fact of the matter is, and this is especially true in a pretty liberal state like Massachusetts, that people don't like it when you bully marginalized people. A lot of people don't like it when you bully marginalized people. And although there weren't enough of those people to put Kamala Harris over the top in 2024, there certainly is enough of those people to deny you a Senate seat in Massachusetts. There's enough of those people to deny you a Senate seat or a House seat in many places in the country. And in point of fact, in the almost 2 years since the 2024 election, public opinion on transgender people has not made this sharp turn to the right. There wasn't a big MAGA cultural victory. And subsequent candidates who tried to run on anti-trans energy, like Winsome Sears here in Virginia, got blown out the water. Now, I have a theory of all of this. I know that there are reactionary centrist commentators who are obsessed with transgender issues, think they're the most important and most salient thing out there, but I don't think the evidence shows that. I think that even if you look at public opinion saying the public is sort of mixed on questions of sports and inclusion, on the main, people just don't care that much. There aren't that many trans people. So when they are balancing these concerns about things they actually care about, like the price of groceries, like the cost of living, like healthcare, like education, like political corruption, trans issues tend to fall at the bottom. This was even true in 2024, believe it or not. There were surveys done of what people's most important issues were, and at the top was inflation and the economy. Quite near the bottom are issues relating to transgender people. It might be an obsession among certain sets of commentators. It is actually very much an obsession among certain sets of commentators, but it isn't really something that the public is super attentive to. And so Moulton's calculation was a huge error. He messed up. Made a bad choice. And he is not alone. This assumption that 2024 was a MAGA cultural victory was, I think, widespread. This was the so-called vibe shift after November 2024, but it didn't exist. It did not exist. What I wrote at the time was that Trump's 2024 victory, an exceedingly narrow victory, one of the narrowest in American history, was entirely contingent on inflation, that incumbents around the world lost because of inflation, that Harris, interestingly enough, outperformed most global incumbents, go figure, and that if inflation were less bad, she probably would have won. Even with everything, if inflation were less bad, she probably would have won. Or if people didn't feel it as hard, you know? And that because inflation was the issue, because this, more so than any election since 2012, was really a race about the economy, Trump's mandate, such that it existed, was to get things back to where they were pre-COVID, if that were even possible. But that's not what he did. The project of the Trump administration instead was to try to turn this MAGA cultural victory that they imagined they won, and that many commentators and folks imagined that they won, into an enabling act for the consolidation of a presidential dictatorship. Now, I think that consolidation has not succeeded. I'm not sure that it will succeed. It's been immensely damaging, incredibly destructive, and has harmed American democracy in such a way that there are real questions about whether we can come back from it. But I'm not sure that it's succeeded. We'll see how this all plays out. The point, though, is that the reason it hasn't succeeded is because the public wasn't into it. That they didn't really want this. They didn't want the aggressive and violent immigration enforcement. They didn't want the assault on DEI. Again, there are certainly commentators who wanted it, and they'll tell you it. But the public, not so much. And then on top of that, Trump has not just consistently neglected the thing that got him into office, inflation, but he's made it worse. And so the combination of these two things has sent him cratering with the public. We've talked about this a bunch. You know my whole spiel about this. The point, and this gets to why Moulton lost, this gets to why I think a lot of establishment Democrats have struggled, is that 2024 was not what so many people thought it was. It was not a verdict in favor of Trumpism or MAGA. It was provisional. It was contingent. And the smart political thing to have done in the moment was to remember 2017 to 2020 and assume that Trump was going to become very unpopular very quickly. And to get ahead of that, there are lawmakers who did that. Chris Van Hollen from Maryland is one of them. And they're pretty well positioned. It's all the lawmakers who, as far as I can tell, got caught up in green room politics, got caught up in the conventional wisdom of that immediate post-November moment, who I think are flailing. I don't know if I have any grand lesson here. This is just an observation. Be careful about the lessons you draw from elections. They're often not as broad as you want them to be. And in the case of 2024, most people, and this is, I think, hard to take, but I think it's true, most people who voted that year didn't see it as that big of an election. They really didn't. It was because of the plans and plots of Trump and the people around him. But I don't think a lot of voters saw it that way. That was a terrible mistake. And given the extent to which it was shaped by selfishness and bigotry and the like, it's possibly an unforgivable one. I'm not a politician, so I can say that. If you're a politician, don't say that. But the broad conclusions drawn about that election, the idea that there was some kind of vibe shift going on, nah, that didn't happen. Didn't happen. What happened instead is a lot of bad luck. And here we are. And as someone who reads a lot of history, I will say that often monumental things happen because of a patch of bad luck. Is how it is.
That's the way it crumbles, cookie-wise.
As always, let me know what you think. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.